You know, we're in this series, The Walking Dead, and we're looking at how to avoid or to overcome a zombie-type existence, you know, where you just, there's no energy at all, where you kind of roam through life tired and worn, shuffle through the day, you've been numbed by the pressures, the stress of life. And we talked about the fact that God did not design us to live like that. That God created us fearfully and wonderfully. You know, Jesus said that the thief, he's talking about the evil one, Satan, says, comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come in order that you might have life, life in all of its fullness. See, Jesus was promising that Christ followers would have an abundant life, a life full of purpose and joy and peace and contentment. Our first week, we talked about the importance of gathering together like we're doing this morning. That's important if we're going to avoid living like a zombie. And we talked about last week about there's some things that we just need to stop. We just need to stop doing things that are stealing from us, that are destroying us, things that the Holy Spirit has been whispering to us for a while, things that we know we need to stop, and also things that we need to start in our life. And we talked about that if we're really going to accelerate our spiritual growth, that one of the greatest things that we can do is spend a few minutes in God's Word each day, you know, listening to God, allowing God's Word to speak into our lives and to guide us and inform us, challenge us, maybe convict us or encourage us, so that in between Sundays, that we keep moving in a positive direction. And so today what I want to do, I want to address a deadly disease. A disease that I believe is causing us to live like this, just worn down. I mean, maybe not on the outside, but inside. We've been infected. A lot of people are infected. In fact, I believe it's epidemic in our society. That the numbers are so high, it is so prevalent, it is so common, that it almost doesn't register with us. It's a deadly disease that destroys life, that erodes your strength. It steals from you. It steals the joy and the peace and the contentment that God promises. And I'm just going to be blunt. This deadly disease will kill you if you don't get a handle on it. You can kind of tell people that are infected with this. You see it in their body language sometimes. Absolutely can identify it if you listen to their comments long enough. People will say things like, I'm just overwhelmed. I can't do all this stuff. All this stuff, and I can't get it done. You know, my schedule, it's beyond full. I'm just exhausted. And there's this sense that we are overwhelmed, that we're overscheduled, and we're exhausted. I see it in young people and old. I see it in the rich and the poor. I see it in men and women. You see it with professionals and people that work at home. You see it with Republicans, Democrats. And from my perspective, this is a bipartisan issue, all right? So many people are infected, and the result, we're living like zombies. We're not living the life that God called us to. We are the walking dead. Now, I want to say up front, the better part of my life, I've tried to get a handle on this particular area. The fact is that Jesus was in ministry, and one of the stories that I think speaks to this topic, you have Jesus kind of zeroing in on an individual that I believe was overwhelmed, overscheduled, just exhausted. The fact is, she was a friend of Jesus's. Her name was Martha. Martha was someone that's pretty prominent through Scripture. Jesus had a lot of followers in his day, a lot of people that would just follow him around and listen to him during his ministry. But he had very few, what I would call that inner circle of friends. He had the 12 disciples, and we know like Peter, James, and John were probably the closest of those. But there are three other people that stand out in Scripture, and that's Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were brother and sisters. They lived in a little suburb right outside of Jerusalem, a place called Bethany. Actually, been to that little town when we were in Israel. They had a guest room in their home, and it was kind of reserved for Jesus. Jesus would use it from time to time. And so in our story today, I want you to get a sense of what's going on. The demands on Jesus are growing. His popularity is growing. So the more that he teaches, the more people want. The more he heals, the more people that want to be healed. And I believe Jesus had kind of hit a point where he just needed a break. And so he retreats to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' home. He retreats to their guest quarters. He wants to kind of unwind. He's interested in spending some time with three very, very close friends. And Scripture says, now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village, talking about Jesus here and the disciples, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Jesus makes an unplanned stop, apparently. No preparations have been made. He wasn't able to email him and say, hey, I'm coming to town. But Lazarus is not there. We don't know if he's at work, maybe he's on a trip, maybe he's just not mentioned in the Scripture, but it doesn't mention him in this story. Jesus has been teaching, arguing with his critics, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, he's been healing people and praying, and he stops and he really just wants to get out of what I call ministry mode. He wants to replenish, he wants to recharge. And so Scripture says, she had a sister, he's talking about Martha, had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. So I want you to picture this. Mary, she pulls up a chair. I imagine she's chatting with Jesus. You know, I am so glad you stopped by. You know, how's it going? Those Pharisees, they still giving you a lot of grief? I mean, you can tell us. I mean, what's shared in Bethany will stay in Bethany, okay? And so they're talking. They're getting caught up on things. Scripture says, but Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. So we got one sister. She's visiting with Jesus. The other sister, Martha, she's off in the kitchen. And a real easy way to keep these two straight, I want you to think about Martha Stewart, all right? Martha is the one in the kitchen. Martha is frantically running around, and she's doing stuff, you know? She's trying to figure out the food and what to drink and maybe what the appetizers are going to be, and she wants to give Jesus a couple entree options. And so she's been running around. Maybe she's been fluffing pillows and changing the sheets and dusting the room and getting stuff ready. Mary's in the living room. She's catching up with Jesus. Everything seems good. Not. Martha, she's working. She's getting worked up. And finally, she just blows a gasket. I mean, we don't have this peek around the corner, get your sister's attention, give her the evil eye. You guys know what I'm talking about? That evil eye that says, get in here and help me now. Now, I mean, no subtle thing here. Martha just bursts in the room. She doesn't even address Mary. She addresses Jesus. Don't you care? Don't you care? And when I read the question, I find it's full of all this irony. I mean, Jesus left the splendors of heaven. He came to this earth to live a human life, to go through a lot of pain and suffering and just cruelty. You mean he came to redeem the world? Jesus, he's been on the road. He's healing people, teaching. He's getting worn down. He's exhausted. And now you got Martha. She's tying into him. Jesus, don't you care? And it gets worse. Don't you care that my deadbeat sister, I mean, I threw in deadbeat. It's not up there, but it's implied. Don't you care? My sister's left me to do all this work by myself. And Martha's just getting warmed up here. I mean, I picture her, when I close my eyes and think about the story, I picture her with a spatula in her hand. My grandma used to get wound up with a spatula. She's wound up. You listen to me. Tell my lazy sister to get off her rear now. Tell her to get in here and help me. Jesus came there for a little R&R. Martha's wound for sound. And it's interesting, Jesus doesn't really react to it and escalate things. Jesus doesn't like put her in her place. May I remind you who I am? I am the Son of God. No, Jesus doesn't do that. Scripture says that the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There's need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus simply says twice, Martha, Martha. Modern vernacular. I think he was saying, Martha, back the truck up. Take a chill pill, girl. You are worried. You're distracted. He doesn't accuse her of anything. I think Jesus was simply making an observation. Martha, stop and take a breath. It would appear that you are overwhelmed. I'm guessing you're overscheduled. I think you're exhausted. You got so many things on your mind. You are making my visit a lot more complicated than I want. Martha, can I simplify something for you? Please, let me do this. When I stop by, I'm just stopping by for friendship. I'm just looking for a little life-giving friendship, a little life-giving time where I can refuel with friends. That's all I want. I mean, if I wanted a 5-star dinner, I could arrange that. A couple weeks ago, I fed 5,000 people. You might recall, I made some awesome Chardonnay at that reception. Do you remember that? I can arrange the food and the drinks anywhere, anytime. Martha, there's just one thing you need. Please understand this, Martha. Mary, she's chosen the better part here. And I am not going to take it away from her. I mean, Jesus is really clear when you read it. It says, you know, when I come to visit, I come for one thing. I come to connect. I come for the conversation. Martha, I will not be sending Mary in to help you in the kitchen with a dozen other tasks. Stuff that's not even on my top 10 list. Martha, you have a disease. And the only antidote for that busy, frustrated, worry-filled, running on empty kind of life is sitting here and having a conversation with me. Now, I'm just curious, how many of you think Jesus was right about that one? I mean, when he told Martha that the only hope for dealing with her anger with her sister, her only hope for dealing with that overdeveloped sense of responsibility that was driving her to this exhaustion or to blow a gasket or whatever, was to pull up a chair and unplug from all that busyness and have a conversation with the one that could restore her busy, frantic heart, could settle her spirit, the one that could point her toward life. Do you think Jesus was right on that? How many of you would say today or sometime in recent days, you've been overwhelmed, you feel like you're overscheduled or exhausted or something close to that? Let me see hands. Let's be honest for a minute. All right. It's a disease. And we are infected. Some of you today would say, you know what? I am moving at Mach speed in my life. And I do not like the pace. I am so distracted by everything that I've got to do. I realize I'm not even enjoying the moment. I'm exhausted. Running on empty. I'm running blind. I'm running into the sun, but I'm running behind. Friends like Martha, some of you, you're running. You're running. God did not design you to run like that. God did not design you. I mean, when the tanks are empty, when you're running, I mean, you may be running hard, you may be running fast. But I would argue when it really gets going, that inside, true? Anybody ever felt like that? You're running, but inside, you're not happy. Some of you have been running for so long, you forgot why you started running in the first place. God wants you to live life, a full life, a life full of joy and peace and contentment. God wants you to avoid that kind of zombie-esque type experience in life. So how do you do that? How do you do that? I want to give you a couple things today to hold on to. I noticed something. I told you I like all the horror flicks and stuff, but I've noticed something about zombies. They're always moving. They're always shuffling. I mean, they're not fast, okay? But they're always moving. They're never satisfied. They're never full. They devour everything. But there's that deep hunger in them always. Walking Dead. They have no life, no purpose, no plan. But they do not sleep and they do not rest. They just go, 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 go. And friends, if you're going to stop living life like a zombie, that living dead, I think the first thing you got to do is stop. You got to stop running. Hit the pause button in your life. And the only running that I want to suggest that you do is running to the sun. S-O-N, sitting at his feet, having a conversation. You know, last week we talked about the importance of having a place to meet God, to spend a few minutes with God and just read God's word every day, that we should do that, even just for a couple minutes. And I want to kind of build on that, but Psalms 46:10, I used to have it printed on the outside of my Bible. For early in my ministry, I really need to keep reminding myself of the scripture, but it's, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. If you want to avoid living like the people that are dead inside, that zombie type experience, you got to stop running. You got to unplug and just sit at the feet of Jesus, the feet of God. Mary's at Jesus' feet. She's listening to him. Scripture uses a phrase. It's only used one time in the New Testament. And it literally means sitting, listening, and applying what Jesus said. It's the Greek word akouo. It's where we get the word acoustics. It absorbs what is heard. If you're going to move from that overwhelmed kind of life, that overscheduled, that exhausted life, you have to kind of shift gears so that you're not running on empty, and you've got to move into a place of balance in your life where you can find peace and joy, that abundant life, the kind of life that I believe God intended us to live. And you do that by running to the Son and sitting at His feet and just listening. You unplug and you're quiet. You know, spend a little bit of time in God's Word. You pray, meditate. That really means listening to God. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit in your life. And friends, this doesn't just happen. It won't just happen in your life. It is a commitment that you have to make. In other words, I believe that the evil one will not sit back and let it happen. I mean, he's not going to watch you and go, "Oh, great, you want to spend a little time with God? Go ahead, you can have that full life. Cool, go ahead, do it." No, I believe the evil one comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He wants us to be the walking dead in life. He is going to do whatever he can to keep you running on empty, keep you running blind, because he knows if he can keep you busy, you can't listen to God. See, the evil one knows that if you start listening to God, that the power of heaven will be poured into your life, that you will find direction, you will find joy and hope and encouragement and peace in life. Establish a time in your day, a time that you're going to go to God each day, you're going to sit at His feet, and you're going to listen, you're going to apply, you're going to absorb what God has to say. Do you have a time set? Or, I know how this goes, even last week, some of you left and you go, "Oh, I'm going to do that." And then in your mind, through the week, you'll be, "Well, we'll see if it happens." Words of Dr. Phil, how's that working for you? If you do not establish a time, it will not happen until the whole bottom falls out. Establish a place where you can listen. It'll be your place that I call holy ground. Might be your den, might be at the office or the break table or maybe your back porch. But you've got to establish a place, and then you need to establish a plan. We talked a little bit about last week. You know, just read a couple pieces of scripture. See what jumps at you. But then let's take it up a notch. Share with God. Share with God what's going on in your day. Or if you do it in the evening, what happened through the day. You know, just to say, here's what's going on. Here's what I'm stressed out about. Here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what I'm worried about. And friends, this does not need to be eloquently said. You do not need to sanitize it. Just spill it. Just spill it at God's feet. When you do that, when you take that step, things happen in your life. As you grow, as you get comfortable sitting at the feet of God, you will begin to sense the Holy Spirit guiding you. Sometimes challenging you, maybe your direction or a decision that you're making or your priorities or some action in your life. Akouo, you know, listening, applying. Most of the major decisions in my life are God-driven. I have never heard God's voice audibly. You know, he didn't go, "Hey, Damon, why don't you go in ministry? Hey, Damon, marry Cindy. Hey, start a church called Faith Fellowship." Friends, it always started in a quiet place with God, where God's stirring my spirit, opening my heart. you know, convicting me or challenging me about my present position on something. You know, God has spoke to me through his word numerous times and many other avenues through people that he's put in my life. Sometimes just that sense of the Holy Spirit speaking. But friends, it all started in a quiet time with God. Just me and God. You know, Jesus, he made time in his life. There are numerous times in Scripture where it says he withdrew to a lonely place, a quiet place. Usually got down on his knees and he just was at the feet of his Father. And I figure if it was important for Jesus, it's probably important for me. You've got to establish a time, a place, and a plan in your life. If you want to keep from running on empty, if you want to get out of that mode you're in, you want to quit living like a zombie. Second thing I want to suggest that you do is you undergo what I call liposuction. Know what I mean? Jesus is the great physician. And what I'm suggesting that you do is that you crawl up on the operating table, get your calendar, smartphone, whatever it is that dictates your day, and just say, you know what, Lord? I got some serious calendar fat, and I want you to suck it out of my life. Get rid of it. It is killing me. I am killing myself with all these activities and all these options. My tanks are running empty. I'm not the person that I should be. I'm not the spouse. I'm not the parent. I'm not the Christian. I'm not the person you created me to be because I am worn out. And just lay on that table and say, you know what, God? Have your way. Whatever it is you want. And while God's doing that liposuction, ask God a couple questions. Ask God, does your calendar, your schedule, ask him how it squares with his priorities for your life. And then ask God to specifically show you what needs to go. And then ask God to give you the wisdom and the power to do it. Because it's one thing to say, oh, I need this, this needs to go, and 5 years later, you're still doing the same stuff. Friends, I am convinced when you allow God to cut some of the fat out of your schedule, when things finally start slowing down just a little bit, you will find you have more time for the things that are important. You will not get caught up in what I call superficial activities that destroy, that suck life out of you. See, busy doesn't mean good. We're talking about getting rid of stuff that is keeping you from being the person God created you to be. You know, we live in this culture that is always chasing stuff. And we devour, don't we? Never really satisfied. We need bigger, better, faster, more. And it's interesting because you watch and we get something new. And we're alive for a moment. Oh, life's good. I got this, whatever it is. And then the newness wears off, and we're enslaved to whatever it is, and then we're dead. And here's what kills me, is many people do not realize that they're dying because they're in bondage. They're in bondage to the way they look, or they're in bondage to a particular neighborhood, or a home, or a car, or stuff. I mean, we're in bondage to this stuff, and it's killing us. So here's the third thing I want to suggest, that you are very, very, very careful about where you're feeding in life. See, I believe that the evil one has his way with us, and he tries to create what I call a feeding frenzy. You know, he puts things in front of us because he really wants to appeal to our appetite. And we all have an appetite. If you're not sure what it is, come talk to me. I'll help you figure it out. We all have an appetite for something. And he wants us to have an appetite for something so that it will eclipse God's best, the best that God has for us in life. He wants to get us so involved devouring things that we miss Jesus Christ in our life, that we become the walking dead. You think about it, what was Martha doing? She's entertaining, she's cooking, decorating maybe, setting the table, doing a lot of stuff. And those things aren't bad things. But she forgot to set a place for Jesus. Okay, sure, she set a plate at the table, had some food on it, but she forgot to set a place for Jesus in her life. I realize that's a temptation that I have in my work. See, I can get so busy doing ministry, if I'm not careful, I can miss God. And it is something that we all struggle with if we're not careful, if we're not real deliberate in our lives. Jesus says, Martha, one thing's needed. One thing. Martha, Mary has chosen the better part. The one thing that can't be taken from her. It is life-giving. In fact, Jesus would say it another way. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, some of you, you can't seek God's kingdom first because you're seeking everything else first. Some of you are playing a game. Some of you take a verse like that and you reverse the verse, I call it. And it goes something like this: God, add all these things to my life, all these things that make for abundant life, then I'll seek you. See, we flip it around. And friends, ultimately, if God is not first, if God's not first, every area, if God's not first, at some point you will join the ranks of the walking dead. You will trade in, it will be a choice you make, to trade in the abundant life for that zombie kind of existence. And friends, it happens subtly. I think Satan's very sly here, because most of the activities that we get involved in are good things. Most of you are not getting tripped up because you're choosing evil, awful stuff instead of good stuff. That's not the problem. The real issue is you are choosing good stuff instead of the best stuff. And it's messing you up. And it's messing your family up. And it's messing your heart up. And it messes your soul up. When you seek God first, when you're not distracted, when you take some time and you sit at his feet, when you're very, very careful about where you're feeding, what you find is life begins to sync up. You know, I had a professor years ago, he shared with us how he kept things in perspective in his life, and he said he kept several pictures on his desk that kind of helped him manage his life. And he said he had a picture of himself when he was just a couple days old. He'd just been born, just a few days old. He had a picture of him and his wife. He had a third picture that was him and his children. And the last picture he had was a picture of a gravesite. And it was where he was going to be buried when he died. And he said every day he would sit down at work and he would look at those pictures, and it reminded him what his priorities were. It reminded him every day how short life is. It reminded him how important people are and that God says people matter. It reminded him how to invest his time and his energy. And it reminded him that he was going to invest in things that had eternal value and that affected his eternity. And he said that kept him going in the right direction. I want to challenge you today to do a little bit of homework this week so that you can move from running on empty. Those of you that said, hey, I'm kind of drained, you can move out of that. You can quit living that kind of zombie-esque type life. You can have the abundant life. But you need to stop. You need to stop running. Hit the pause button. And the only running you do is to the feet of Jesus. Some of you need to make it a priority. Not just say, oh, we'll see what happens. But actually make it a priority to spend time with God every day. A few minutes. 5 minutes. Some of you, you just need to get your calendar out, your schedule, or if you keep it up here, whatever, and just lay it before God and let God do some serious liposuction. You think you're doing all this stuff, man, I'm living. No, you're not. Trim the fat. And then take a look at what you're feeding on. Do not settle. Hear this. Do not settle for good. Don't do it. Settle for the best that God has. And I believe if you get serious about that stuff, it won't happen overnight. But if you get serious, it breathes life. You start living. You start living the abundant life now. Today and in eternity. I want that kind of life. I don't know about you, but you got to make some choices. Let's stand. We're going to have a word of prayer. They're going to be, maybe God's touched your heart today. We're going to have teams up front to pray with you. You don't have to spill it out to them. Just say, hey, pray with me. I want off the treadmill. I want joy and I want peace and contentment in my life. Just let them pray with you. Maybe just can't bring yourself to come down, but after service, just hang around, sit quietly. Let God speak to you today. So we're going to worship. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we are going to run to you. We're going to run with a passion. We're just going to sit at your feet. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just speak to our souls that we have so many things that are distracting us, that are wearing us down, that we're worried about, we're fretting, we're scared, afraid, whatever. God, we're just going to lay those at your feet today. God, we long to have a life full of joy. We long for peace and contentment. Oh, we want celebration and joy. God, I pray you would just breathe into us life. God, I pray that as we lift our voices today, that in our hearts we just make a commitment that no more walking dead. We're going to live life to its fullest. We give you the glory and the praise this day. Amen. Let's worship together.